So today, Easter's already over, so some of you may be a little bit confused, but the Easter season, Eastertide, actually continues for 50 days. So we're going to continue that trend with a new sermon series called He Is Risen, and we're going to look at the different encounters that people have with Jesus after His resurrection, and then what that means for us as disciples. So today will be a familiar story. We're going to be in the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, picking up with verse 19. That can be found on page 883 if you're using an Emmanuel Pew Bible. And as always, when the gospel is read, I ask that if you are able to please stand in honor and reverence of the reading this morning. Picking up with verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you know that it doesn't take much to trick me into a conversation about theology and Scripture. And so some of you know that Thomas is probably one of my favorite characters in Scripture. So today you may hear something that you weren't told as a child, or that you may not have even, you may not even agree with me, but at least let me get to the end before you start thinking you're trying to run me off. But Thomas is one of my favorite characters in Scripture. So let's take a look at what happens. Jesus comes into this locked room. Isn't it interesting? They know he's alive and they're hiding in fear. They're locked in this room. They're hiding because they are afraid what the Jews might do to them. And then Jesus shows up. It says Jesus showed them, "Look, it's me." He gives them proof. He shows them his hands. He shows them his side, them his side. That he gives the disciples the proof that it's him. And poor Thomas isn't there. Now, before we beat up on Thomas, because I know that's what the church has done for far too long, so it ends here today. Thank y'all. Those of you that laugh, that really means a lot to me. Think about this. So all week, this is what Thomas hears. Jesus was here. Man, it was so cool. The door was locked, and he walked right through, and he was like, "Hey, look, guys, it's me." And Thomas is like, I'm tired of hearing it. You ever been that way? Somebody been to a movie? Or a good restaurant, and that's all they do is talk about it. Or a concert, that's the one that drives me nuts. Man, I heard such and such in concert, they're fabulous. Great, it'll take 3 years for them to come back before I get a chance to hear it. Or the one that maybe is relevant to some of us this week, especially me, is Augusta National. I don't care who got to go see the practice rounds, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, because I didn't get to go. I don't care how pretty it is. I don't care how much color the flowers have. I don't care what condition the greens are in, because I didn't get to see it for myself. We've been there, right? Don't act like I'm the only. Now, I might be the only one with golf. I know I'm not, because there's a couple of others in you that believe that this week too. But we all have something where we want to see it ourselves. We want to experience it ourselves, and that's where Thomas is. He says, unless I see Jesus, I won't believe. And it's not that he's not believing in his faith. When we look at the root of the doubt that's being used there, he's just saying, I have reservations. I have reservations that y'all saw Jesus because I didn't get to see him. I've still got questions. That's all Thomas is saying. He says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and I put my finger in his side, I will not believe. So before we go any further, I want to say something you've probably never heard. I want to be accused of having the same faith Thomas had. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because he's known as what? Doubting Thomas. That's not in Scripture. That's not, he's referred to as the twin. Maybe that's why I like him so much. But listen, to these are the only recorded statements we have about Thomas prior to this doubting scene. In John 11, Thomas says, Thomas, who was called the twin, that's what it says, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Let's put it back in context. They have just escaped. They were trying to kill Jesus. He's gotten word that Lazarus is dead. He holds him there for a couple days, and now he's going back to Bethany. All the other disciples try to talk him out of going. They're going to kill you. And Thomas says, let's go. Let's go so that we can die with him. I want that kind of faith. I want that kind of faith. We also see in John 14, Jesus is saying, this is, you don't know right now where I'm going, but I'm going to go and you're going to come and be with me. And Thomas answers up, he speaks up and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way to you? He wants to be with Jesus. I want that kind of faith. So if somebody says, you remind me a little bit of Thomas, I know what they mean, but in my heart, I'm like, good. Because I want the faith. I'm not saying I have it, but I want the faith that's willing to die for Jesus. And I want the faith that desires nothing more than to be with him everywhere I go. So I think if we'll put ourselves in Thomas's shoes, we might see a little bit of ourselves in him. So Jesus shows up. He provides exactly what Thomas wants. Thomas wants proof, doesn't he? So Jesus shows up. He also provides exactly what he needs. See, Thomas could not have become an apostle later without seeing the risen Lord. Without having an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, he would not have been qualified to be an apostle. Different story. There's a history lesson stored away. But so Jesus walks in, and Thomas gets to see him. Look at verse 26 and 27 if you still got it powered up or on, or if not, just listen. It's beautiful. It says, a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, it doesn't tell us they were locked, does it? It just tells us they were shut. So we're making progress, right? We're making progress. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your hand here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. We have no scriptural proof that Thomas ever touched Jesus. All we have is that Jesus made an invitation to let Thomas touch him. Because the next verse says this. The next verse says, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. If we go back to the first part of the scripture, the disciples say, we've seen the Lord. They meant Jesus, right? They didn't say anything about seeing God. Thomas takes it a step further. He now knows that this is not only Lord, this is not only Savior, this is God, creator of all things. Thomas gets it at this point. Jesus says, if that's what it takes for you to believe, then do it. Touch me. And maybe Thomas does touch him. It didn't say that. So I'm just going off what it says here. But it says he proclaimed my Lord and my God. I know that you saved me, but I also know that you created me. I want that kind of faith. Thomas just wants to see Jesus. That's all he wants. And it's the reason why he became a missionary, makes it all the way to India, most historians believe. Most historians believe he before, you know, before his death, that he had reached and made all kind of converts in India, and then he's killed for his faith and is still revered to this day in that area as a patron saint for his work for the gospel. So what does that mean for us? Thomas wants to see Jesus. So my question for you this morning is, do you want to see Jesus? It's a simple question, and it's easy to answer today, isn't it? Do you want to see Jesus in your family? In the life of your family, do you want to see Jesus move? Have you asked him? What about in your faith, in your growth, in your sanctification? Young adults are studying that next week in Sunday school. If you want to join them, they meet at 10 o'clock downstairs in the choir room. Do you want to see Jesus move in your prayer life? I think most of us would say yes, but then the question is, are we praying like Jesus is going to move? Do you want to see Jesus in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, or just the children of this church? Y'all know they're growing up in a world that's going to make it hard for them to believe about Jesus if they're not given a foundation now. That's why we make them a priority here. Here's a tough one. Y'all ready for the tough ones? Do you want to see Jesus take over your finances? All you hear is the heating and air, don't you? That's a tough question, isn't it? Because see, that now you're getting personal, preacher. How about this? Do you want to see Jesus moved in those places in your heart that are locked doors because you're afraid of what will happen if somebody ever finds out? Do you want Jesus to go there? Here's the thing, though. If we'll get to that point in our faith and we'll let him there, everything changes. You see that? Everything changes for Thomas. He gets what he needs, and he's different because of it. Do you want to see Jesus move in the life of this church? I would say most of you would say yes, because I've seen him move. They used to talk about moving mountains. There's been more than two or three mountains moved in the last 3 years. That's why half our congregation's under the age of 9 down there eating snacks and doing art craft projects, and y'all were up here stuck listening to me. Don't laugh. Do you want to see Jesus when you come to worship? See, sometimes we just come to worship because we're supposed to be in church. Y'all know that, right? You grew up and you were just told, I got to go to church. But do you want to see Jesus when you get here? You see, because that's the only measure of success. The only measure of success for our Sunday worship is, did I see Jesus? If the answer's no, all we did was have fellowship. We might as well be a country club. But if we see Jesus, our lives will be changed. And now he says, I give to you so that I can send you. See, now we've become disciples. So yeah, I want the faith of Thomas. Because all Thomas wanted was to see Jesus. That's all, that's it. Because if we see Jesus in our lives, everything else will change. There's places in your life today that you need to see Jesus. And the truth is, you can do everything. You can pray scripted prayers. You can go buy whatever you want to buy. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do all the good in the world. But if you do not have an encounter with the risen Savior, you will never see him. So my prayer for me, because this is still a process for me, My prayer for you, my prayer for all of us as a church, is that we will see Jesus. Each and every time we gather, each and every morning when we get up, each and every night when we go to bed, in each and every place that we travel. You see, Thomas only wanted to see Jesus because that's all his life was built on. He didn't need anything else. All his hope was built on Jesus. Can the same be said for me or for you? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.